Stay tuned for details on the biggest discount ever on my Paranormal Plus Club a few minutes into the show.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I am Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. You know, when you look up at the sky, there's something out there that many times you wonder, what in the world's going on? You look up and you see these trails. Many people call them chemtrails coming from planes. Now, they've been explained away by the powers that be, but our guest today has a different thought on what they actually represent, and he's created a documentary about it. Our guest is Michael J. Murphy. He is a filmmaker, political activist, and president of the Coalition Against Geoengineering. His work focuses on issues that go beyond the interest of the corporate mainstream media and includes originating and co-producing the groundbreaking documentary What in the World Are They Spraying? And several other short films that address chemtrails and geoengineering and other controversial political issues. Michael has also appeared on hundreds of radio and TV programs around the world. Many of his interviews and videos can be seen on his website at truthmediaproductions.us. Michael J. Murphy, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me on, and I'd like to correct you. You must have the old, I have calls coming in right now, my apologies. You must have the old bio, because we just released an even more groundbreaking documentary, which is titled Why in the World Are They Spraying? And it's a closer look at these programs, and it gets into the weather control aspect. Of course, there are a number of agendas that can be achieved by putting aerosols into our sky. Weather control is very essential into corporatizing every natural system on the planet and giving the powers to be godlike power. So anyways, great to be on. Thank you very much.
Yes. And I apologize. I picked that up off of the About section on your website, so sorry about that. So nevertheless, this is a fascinating subject to me. What first got your attention about these chemtrails? Why did you say, this is something I want to look into?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I had gone to college in Arizona. I moved from Chicago, and I noticed the deep blue skies that we had, and it was at one time called the Valley of the Sun in the Phoenix area. And I had moved away, and I returned back to Phoenix, and I had noticed that those deep blue skies had changed. We had what appeared to be high cirrus clouds about 4 to 5 days a week, so I knew that the skies were changing, but I wasn't aware of why they were changing. Somebody told me about the chemtrail/geoengineering issue, and they stated that those were aerosols from airplanes spraying chemicals into the sky to make artificial clouds. Now, the first time I heard that, I have to be honest, I thought the person was completely crazy. That wasn't until later on somebody showed me actually the trail behind an airplane, not a contrail, but a long trail that did not dissipate, that actually turned into this high cloud. So I became interested and started researching on this issue, which was commonly at the time referred to the chemtrail issue. When I really got interested in this issue, it was when I went to the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting. And in that meeting, geoengineers proposed their plans and proposals to spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum and other pollutants into our sky for the stated goal of cooling our planet. During that meeting, they had spoken about a lot of consequences associated with geoengineering programs, some of which are ozone depletion, drought, which we now have. We now have a huge ozone hole in our atmosphere. Other consequences that we are now seeing, geoengineers claim that it could disrupt the food supply of over 2 billion people. We are now in a global food crisis. We'll get into some of the reasons more, and toxification not only of our soils, but of human health. And we're seeing the primary ingredients in geoengineering programs show up in rain tests and blood tests of people around the world. So based on our research, we believe this is the greatest crime and the greatest threat to our planet and life on this planet that we have had in human history. So it's a very, very important issue. Interestingly enough, while geoengineers did adamantly deny that they started these programs, there is a mountain of evidence that shows that they've been in full-scale deployment for about 15 years. We've suffered severe, severe consequences. But during that time, I got involved with filming What in the World They Sprained, and it was considered the most credible film on the subject. We just released Why in the World Are They Sprained. It's an award-winning documentary. You can see the trailer and find more information at whyintheworldaretheysprained.com.
And right after this, we'll get back to this fascinating discussion on the subject of chemtrails. But first, I want to tell you about something very, very cool. At least I think it is. You know, I've been doing my Paranormal Plus Club for almost 2 years now, and I am here to tell you about the best deal ever on the Paranormal Plus Club, a yearly membership if you decide to get in. It's $20 off if you use the coupon code THANKS. That deal is going now through November 30th for the first 100 people to use that coupon code THANKS. And we've had a number of people redeem it already. I'm not sure what the count is up to yet, but certainly you want to get in on that if you want to get this special deal. I got to say, the Paranormal Plus Club, it's getting better all the time. We've got over 500 podcasts there. Many of the paranormal podcasts and campfires, all of the archived ones that aren't available on the free side. And then you have my exclusive podcasts. You'll hear topics like this on Conspiracy Corner. I have a UFO Encounters show that we enjoy. We just did a recent program on a study of people who have been abducted by UFOs, and it's a great episode, and we have many other great UFO episodes over there. We have the other side where we delve into spiritual matters or the crime scene, which has kind of been the surprise hit. A lot of people saying, I didn't know if I'd like that, and I actually have turned out to consider it my favorite Paranormal Plus podcast. Plus, you get a free email newsletter. Plus, you get access to paranormal courses. And we have a big one that we think is going to come through for January. And you'll want to stay tuned for that one. That's going to be a really exciting development. But in the meantime, we have archives of all the ones we've done this year. We have great meet and greets where people come on and ask me questions. And it's growing all the time. I hope you'll check it out. It's my Paranormal Plus Club. And you can access $20 in savings. That's $20 in savings if you use the coupon code THANKS. That's only good for the yearly membership, and that's good through November 30th. So act now. Stop the podcast. Go over to jimherold.net, click on the link to get plus access, and use that coupon code THANKS. Get $20 off while the getting's good. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope you'll check it out.
Support the shows and save some dough. Do all your Amazon shopping via Jim's links at jimherold.com.
We're back to the Paranormal Podcast. The guest is Michael Murphy. The subject are chemtrails. So sometimes technology, the powers that be want to play God, as it were. You think about genetically modified seeds and so forth. Why in the world, to your title, why in the world are they spraying this stuff? Because if, in fact, they are spraying this stuff, what would be the justification for it, particularly if it's been going on 15 years, as you say, and we've seen all these dire weather consequences, notwithstanding, I don't know if it's connected, but Hurricane Sandy was a once-in-a-lifetime storm, and I'm sitting here in northeastern Ohio, and we felt the effects with 250,000 people out of power in my area. And that is nothing compared to the poor folks in New Jersey and New York and so forth. So my question to you is, why did they start doing it? And once they saw what it started to do, why would they continue?
Well, it's important to note that geoengineers claim that their models of spraying aluminum oxide is to actually reflect sun and cool the planet to prevent global warming. However, in our research, we found a number of studies that some by NASA and others by universities, not that I trust everything that comes out, but those studies indicate that temporarily, regionally, putting reflective material like aluminum into our sky will regionally cool certain areas. And you'll notice, like on a nice warm day, when they start spraying and the blanket of aerosol gets into the sky, the temperature will drop about 8 degrees. However, these studies indicate, and we've noted, that at night, these aerosols act as a blanket. they trap heat, they actually exacerbate global warming. We've seen a great increase in nighttime highs just in the past 15 years since these programs appear to have been deployed. Now, they're very, very toxic to ecology, and we started our research in Northern California, and scientists started noticing that trees were dying, forests were dying, but they didn't know why. And what they started to do was take pH tests from that area of the soil. And what they found was very shocking. The soil pH was turning from the typical acidic soil to alkaline. Very, very profound and dramatic changes, anywhere between 10 to 20 times the normal pH. And basic science tells us that plant life and will start to die. That requires acidic soil, exactly what's happening. So they started testing further. What they found was even more shocking, massive amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium. These metals match what geoengineers say they want to spray, but deny that they're spraying. They also match a number of geoengineering patents that have actually been designed to specifically spray aluminum, barium, and other heavy metals out of airplanes for geoengineering purposes. And they match what we see in the sky in terms of losing our sunlight. We now have 20% less sun hitting the Earth than we did just a couple decades ago. This is an issue which is scientifically documented called global dimming. And again, that's a stated goal of geoengineering. So we're starting to see all of these consequences exactly as you stated, the weather changes. These are all coming into fruition, and human health. Aluminum oxide, barium, the primary geoengineering ingredients, are also showing up in people that are testing the blood. So there was a group in Mojave County, Arizona, a group of over 20 people. 85% of those people had levels of aluminum and barium that were considered to be 1,000 times the amount that is elevated. So there are a lot of profound health concerns. We've seen aluminum-related illnesses such as Alzheimer's, neurological disorders, ADD, even asthma, other illnesses related to inhalation of particles just skyrocket. We've had a 250% increase in Alzheimer's just in the Riverside County area. Barium's very toxic. Barium reduces our immune system, and it also creates high blood pressure. So I've spoken to a number of emergency room physicians, many of which are aware of this issue, and they stated during heavy spray days, people come in with burning eyes, irritability, nausea, headache, dry mouth, a number of things that they're spraying are desiccants, but they also stated they expect a great increase in both heart attacks and strokes because barium does raise our blood pressure. So it's very much of a human health concern as well. But our ozone, people are now noticing that when they go out in the sun, they burn much quicker. That is because our protective layer, which we depend on to not only protect us from radiation, and other things, is being shredded with every aerosol that they put up in the sky. So this is literally, it's literally a game changer for life on planet Earth. But what we came to find out was these programs have nothing to do with saving the planet or protecting the people on this planet. It all has to do with the consolidation of a huge amount of both monetary and political power into the hands of the few, which hopefully we'll get into. And that was the basis of why in the world are they spraying.
So that really is the key question. If you have a conspiracy along these lines, you would have to have some incredibly important people behind it. So who is it? Is it government? Is it corporations? Is it some kind of cabal of both? Is it the United States government? Is it multiple governments? Who's behind the curtain on this?
Well, I hate to burst the bubble of those that believe that we have a government for the people and by the people. I believe at one time it was. That is now for the corporate interest, for the global corporate interest, unfortunately. So we do have corporations running the country. And again, what we came to find out was we noticed about 1 to 2 days ahead of storms, those were the days where we had the very heavy aerosol activity. We'd see our skies get completely covered over and very little sun coming through. And then we noticed that storms were coming in. So I contacted former meteorologist and 20-year weatherman, Scott Stevens. I asked him a little bit. He's been researching this, and he explained to us that aerosols are required in the sky to control our weather. weather control is a way to consolidate, again, an enormous amount of monetary and political power into the hands of a few. And if we look at the aerosols that we're finding in our sky, aluminum oxide is what geoengineers are proposing, and that's what we're finding literally in thousands and thousands of times the normal amount in our rain. One thing that I did not discuss was aluminum, barium, strontium. Those oxides will change the soil pH from acidic to alkaline and thus destroy a lot of plant life, and that's exactly what's happening. But if we look at the aluminum, geoengineers are selling this as something that's very reflective. It will cool the planet, and it's very lightweight. So they state that that's, you know, a good toxin or metal to put up into our skies. However, we did some research. We found out, yes, that's true, but it also is a very, very effective conductor in our atmosphere. And the reason we saw the aerosols ahead of storms is because they put a sheath of aerosols, which, by the way, falls down and we end up breathing, a lot of aluminum-related illnesses, but they put up this shield of aluminum aerosols, and through the use of either HARP technology or microwave technology, they have the ability to literally heat up that area. And in doing so, when you heat up an area of the atmosphere, it actually rises. And in that rising, it literally creates a low-pressure vacuum and enables these corporations and entities literally to steer storms into certain regions or, in the case of this summer, out of certain regions. And it was interesting because many people are aware of the drought that created the food crisis that we now have. And we began to look at satellite pictures, and I consulted Scott and other researchers, and we noticed that there was very little strain in California, where I usually spend a lot of my time. However, we looked at satellites, and we noticed that the entire Pacific was covered with a blanket of aerosols all the way from Alaska down to the equator. What this did, it did a couple of things. It blocked the sun. For normal storms and evaporation to occur, the sun needs to hit the ocean. So we didn't get our normal evaporation. Mm-hmm. But the metal particulates, according to many scientists and even geoengineers, they state that that their programs will create global drought in some areas and floods in other areas, because the metal particulate acts as what's called cloud condensation nuclei. So instead of a cloud forming, condensing, and falling as rain, it actually, the water molecules condense on this metal particulate and it drips. And that's one of the reasons why we're getting droughts in California, but massive flooding in the Midwest, because that moisture drifts. In the case of this summer, we had that the entire Pacific, again, covered with aerosols. Cloud formation did not occur, and as a result, we had drought conditions. Now, after we released the film and finished cutting it, I went in July into the Midwest, where, of course, they had massive droughts. And during that time, there were two or three storms, big storms that were predicted. And I went outside and I watched them, and I would see these big, beautiful thunderstorms start to develop, and then boom, within about 45 minutes, the planes would start going back and forth, literally seeding the leading edge of that storm. And within about 45 minutes, the storm would be what meteorologists called iced out. It would literally fall apart, that moisture would drift. After this summer, though, we looked, while the U.S. had drought, Europe got completely flooded. So we have these disasters. What we started looking into was why. Who benefits from disasters? Who benefits from droughts? And we found there were three key areas of interest of the corporations and our government for creating disasters like this. So it was deeply concerning to us, the amount of devastation that we have and the amount of starvation that we have. This drought that is literally caused by geoengineering, many scientists are claiming it's climate change and global warming. For the record, for every degree the planet warms up, we should get 7% more precipitation. If you look at the global drought monitor, you will find that most of the world is in global drought, exactly the opposite of what should be happening. There's no doubt that this is caused by the aerosols in our sky.
So is this over greater, is it for depopulation? Is it to drive up food prices and get greater profits? What is the motive in destroying the food supply?
Well, if we could go into military, I think that would kind of paint the picture and give the documentation If you wouldn't mind that.
No, not at all.
And help the audience understand. Okay, thanks. The militaries have been interested in controlling our weather for a number of years, and after looking at the documentation, it looks like they perfected it back in the 60s. They actually used it in the Vietnam War in a project called Project Popeye, where the U.S. government actually flooded out the main supply line of the Vietnamese, and that, of course, disrupted their flow and their ability to prepare for battle. And we interviewed a professor up in on the East Coast who has researched weather control and weather weaponry, and he gave us a lot of information. In that research, we found a document called Owning the Weather by 2025. That's an expressed interest of our military. And in that paper and in that report, it stated that the desire to control the weapon, the weather, and use weather as a weapon, and it actually gives the military a strategic advantage. So the idea is, if you can create weather conditions that are detrimental to your adversary, you can actually win the war in many different ways. And the U.S. military has now airplanes which can fly in all weather, in all weather systems at this time. So again, if they create weather systems that the enemy cannot get off of the ground, they have a strategic advantage. So militaries, again, have been interested in this in a number of years and have actually been using it in Why in the World Are They Spraying, which you can see at whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. You can see the trailer and get more information about the film. But we interviewed Dr. Nick Begich, and who is a HAARP expert, and he explained to us a treaty. We had a treaty back in 1972, and it was called the NMOD Treaty. It was an environmental treaty, and it prohibited governments from using this technology in warfare applications. The only issue was this. Countries could use this technology over their own soil. So Dr. Nick Begich and also meteorologist Scott Stevens explained to us the dynamics behind weather control and how you can literally impact a storm or put aerosols into a storm using HAARP or microwave technologies, manipulating the jet stream and literally having profound effects thousands of miles away. So when you have a storm and you develop it over the U.S., when it gets to the U.S. border on the East Coast, it doesn't say, wait a minute, I can't go any further. It fails to recognize that. So that's the loophole in that treaty, and it shouldn't even be allowed. So we believe that that is why people and how people are getting away with using this technology on a daily basis.
You talked about HAARP a little bit. I remember reading an article maybe, 15, 16 years ago called Angels Don't Play This HAARP. Can you explain maybe for those not familiar in our audience what HAARP is and what it does?
Sure. And actually, we interviewed the author of that. That was Dr. Nick Begich. And HAARP is an ionospheric heater. So they use the main installation is up in Alaska, and they have several different towers, and they shoot energy into our atmosphere and literally use that energy to manipulate storms. It has the ability to do a number of applications and even shield us from weapons. But it does have weather control applications, and the aerosols from geoengineering programs can actually accentuate the system to make it more effective. So aerosols used in conjunction with HAARP can literally give complete control and corporatization of our weather to other entities.
So, you know, I could understand, let's say you were in the middle of a war and you wanted to do something to the weather in that one instance to give you the military advantage. To me, as long as there wouldn't be, you know, as long as the good saving lives outweighed, quote, our side's lives, outweighed the bad, it would make sense. But why keep doing this on a continual basis? I mean, is it, as I was asking before, is it to decrease our population because the powers that be think there are too many people, so how do you kill off people? You destroy their food supply. Or is it to drive up the cost of food and other resources to increase profits, corporate profits? I mean, what's the end game in this? Why, if they can see that they've been doing this for 15 years, as you say, and they see that it's having unintended consequences, whether they be to the food supply or to people's health or whatever it might be, why don't they just stop? I mean, there's got to be a big bonus in there somewhere for the powers that be.
Well, there definitely is. And I think the answer to your question is all of the above, which we'll touch on. But we have to change our perspective of the government that we were taught in high school. And we've been taught that we have this government that's there, and they're sitting around a table going, how can we give power to the people? How can we benefit people? And when you look at the reality, we have a very different system at the upper levels of our government. So we have to change our perspective. But I'd like to cover just the financial interests of these programs and who benefits from this. And in our research, I learned that Weber was actually being traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Huh.
I'm going to say that one more time, because when I heard that, my mouth literally dropped. Weber is being traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So I made a few phone calls, and I made contact with a mercantile and board of trade trader, and spoke to him about these, and actually flew out to Chicago to interview him. And we found out about these weather derivatives, and Mike explained to us weather derivatives, what they're used for, what companies are interested in these derivatives. Power companies, seed companies, gas companies are all interested in these derivatives, because they give this corp, through the investment in these derivatives, they can actually offset the risk with negative weather circumstances. So a gas company, use the example of a gas company that needs, let's say, X amount of days to be below 30 in a winter, and you particularly have a warm winter like they did last year in the Midwest.
Right.
That company can purchase derivatives to offset the risk and actually turn up a profit if they have a very warm winter. We also used the example of a seed company. Let's say you're a seed company in the Midwest. You have $5 million worth of crop, and you invest in $10 million worth of weather derivatives to offset your risk due to drought. And like last summer, you had a major drought. If your crop fails, you actually make money. You can actually make money from these derivatives. So I'm not saying every trader involved with weather derivatives is part of weather control, but there are certain individuals who do have the knowledge, that do have the game plan. These are the multinational corporations, the ones that are aware of, again, the game plan. In those corporations, those individuals literally made billions and billions of dollars at the expense of everyone last summer due to these weather disasters. Now, I want to say, we now have a global food crisis. Our food prices are going up between 20 and 30%. That's extremely high. And I did a little bit of research, and I looked at starvation numbers per day. During the time of this interview, 1,000 children will die due to starvation, and that is directly related to the drought that we have. These programs are killing people on a daily basis. So we're looking at over 24,000 painful deaths of people due to these programs. That is how severe it is. And now in the U.S., we will see, unfortunately, famine here. We will see people starting to starve. And as a matter of fact, we do have hunger. We do have issues of hunger that are impacting people. And also, because benefits are not going up, but food prices are, we have a lot of other social problems related to that in our inner city. So it literally impacts everything.
Now, within the U.S. government, who do you think knows about this? Do you think the president knows? Is this run by some super secret shadow government? Or do our elected leaders know that this is going on?
At the upper levels, absolutely. In the first film, we actually went to Washington, D.C. There have been a number of congressional hearings on the issue of geoengineering. There is military involvement. We have a president that greatly supports Monsanto and is actually opening the door for Monsanto to go into Africa. We'll get into the GMO connection in just a second, and that's what I really think the end game of these programs are. But without a doubt, there appears to be a global power, but we're being sprayed mostly just about on a daily basis on most regions of the United States and also most other countries. So yeah, without question. And again, we have at that level, at the presidential, the Congress and the Senate, we have individuals who have been put there by the corporate interests, by the large multinational corporations that actually benefit from these programs. So we have had a lot of success at the state and at the county level. I've had a number of of senators at the state level contact me in how they can address this in their states. So we've been working with them and giving them some suggestions. But genetic modification was an issue that came up, and we covered it in Why in the World Are They Spraying? So you can see Why in the World Are They Spraying the trailer and get more info at whyintheworldarethespraying.com. But it was a great concern to us because I really believe that that is what the end game to these programs is about. Did you want me to get into that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm back in Hawaii right now, and as we talk on the phone, I am in the rainforest, and I did get a cell signal, but it's very sad to see because we have about 20% of our trees dying. But we were here 5 months ago, and that's when we filmed. And we filmed a couple of organic farmers, and the ones that we filmed, one has seen a 70% decline in their ability to grow natural organic foods. The other has seen a 60% decline. And this is happening all around the world. We are seeing ecosystem collapsing and forest collapse. A lot of plant life has root systems that will shut down when bioavailable aluminum is introduced to it. And it's important to note, we didn't think that there was any aerosol activity way out here in the Pacific. Unfortunately, we get aerosols about 4, maybe 5 days a week here. Well, the plant life, again, shuts down when that aluminum, the root system shut down when bioavailable aluminum is introduced. So we begin to see crop loss, and we have other illnesses and other diseases that are coming in when trees and plants are weak due to the geoengineering and the blocking of our sun. We'll have other infections come into the tree, and that's exactly what's happening. But we interviewed them, and it was a deep concern, and a lot of farmers are losing their ability to grow natural organic foods. They're having to go to other seeds. So when we found this out, we decided to contact Barbara Peterson. She runs a website called Farm Wars, and she explained to us that, yes, we have seen an incredible amount of crop loss due to what's called abiotic stress. And as a matter of fact, the USDA predicted that by the year 2030, that's a very short time away, we will see 20% more of an increase of crop loss due to abiotic stress. So we said, what is this abiotic stress? And she explained to us, abiotic stress is everything that chemtrail geoengineering programs create. It's the heavy metal contamination of our soils. It's the drought conditions. It's too much moisture. It's fungal overgrowth. And because geoengineering programs block our sun, we actually have an overgrowth now of fungus and a lot of crop loss related to fungus. Well, we came to find out that Monsanto has patented a seed which addresses abiotic stress and can grow in these new conditions. And it's everything from apples to zucchini. So it's important to note Bill Gates, who for public record is funding geoengineering research, so through the death and destruction of his programs, he also has heavily invested in Monsanto. He makes a profit. What is happening, and I think this is very significant, and I think there are a lot of monetary reasons that people get involved, but I think the overall goal is to corporatize every natural system on the planet. So here in Hawaii, when I live here, which I do about 4 to 5 months out of the year, we're essentially dependent on natural organic seeds. We're dependent on natural seeds, sunshine, and we're also dependent on rain. But since the programs have been in full-scale deployment in the past 10 years, we're losing our ability to grow and live off of nature. And what I really think this is, and this has been addressed in many religions, it's been prophesied for a number of years, it's what the Bible and other religions call the beast. They talk about the system that rises up and establishes itself and wants to be worshipped. And the epiphany came when I was working in the farm. And again, we're dependent on natural systems to get our food supply, and primarily do not eat corporate food. Because of that, the corporations do not make money. They do not gain power from us, and we are a threat. So through the death and destruction of our ability to live off of nature, they then create the solution, which is genetic modification, and they're now even genetically modifying forests. So in that genetic modification, that's where the shift of power that these religions talk about happens. So they genetically modify, they usurp the authority of God and the authority of nature, and they bring it under corporate authority so that these entities can have godlike power. As a matter of fact, geoengineer David Keith stated that geoengineering gives man godlike power, and that's what I think he's talking about. So, again, we're losing ecosystems around the world, but we have this corporate solution, and it looks like if we allow them to continue with these programs, if we allow them, we will lose our ability to live off of nature and thus live off of God, and we will be worshiping the beast. Now, when farmers go under, and when our ancestors, when they had farms and they were in a drought, they would pray to God. They would do rain dances. Now, when farmers go under, who do they call? Who do they beg? They beg Monsanto. And while we're on this issue, I think it's really important to note Monsanto's interest in how it relates to geoengineering. Geoengineers claim that their programs will create droughts in Africa and Asia. Well, Africa and Asia now are having droughts. As a result, they have widespread famine. Now, with the help of President Obama, they are now trying to get into, and as a matter of fact, have gotten into Africa. And if you look at that, it's a very effective way to consolidate monetary and political power. Because if you go to Africa and you're Monsanto and you say, hey, we want to, grow seeds, we want to give you these seeds, what the problem is with the Monsanto seeds, a number of them are what's called terminator seeds. So traditionally, farmers would plant seeds, they would grow, they would get a crop, and they would use the seeds from that crop for next year. The terminator seeds do not regenerate. So what it does, it completely enslaves the farmer, so they have to go back to Monsanto year after year after year. And there's no way Africa or farmers in the right mind would want to go into that, and there are a number of health and environmental implications with genetically modified seeds. So what they're doing, they're destroying farmers' ability to grow. They're starving people out, and in doing so, people are begging for this unnatural solution. And again, that's where the shift of power occurs. It's this government corporate conglomerate, which I call the beast, that wants to be the source of life. And putting aerosols in our atmosphere, controlling our weather, gives them the ability, through the death and destruction of natural systems, to become the source of life. And I think that's what the key is.
Now, I'm not fully steeped in the GMO literature, but hasn't there been some effort to make non-GMO seeds in some cases illegal?
A lot of European countries have banned genetically modified seeds, but Monsanto has a motto. They say we want to own everything that grows. And I am also a genetically modified food activist. It's a very important issue. However, I realize now, after studying this issue, if we do not address geoengineering, which is destroying our ability to grow natural organic foods, we will not have a choice. We will not have a choice. So they might be banned now, but when those farmers are not able to grow, when the soils are completely sterilized, they will be begging for these seeds. And that, without a question, is what this agenda is completely about.
Now, so this brings the question, if these high powers are behind this, the highest levels of government, the highest levels of multinational corporations, what can the little guy listening to this do to try to turn the tide against this this chemtrail spraying?
That's a good question. We can use Maui as an example. We filmed here 2 years ago, and I come back regularly, and we wanted to use Maui as sort of a learning ground in how to be most effective in activism. So we now, at this time, have most of the people on our planet are unaware of these programs and the dangers behind them, although it's quickly growing. What we did, we have allowed people who purchase a copy of Why in the World Are They Spraying to make copies and hand out for free. So I'm on Maui right now, and I hand out literally hundreds and have handed out thousands of DVDs to the public. In doing so, we also held screenings. We allowed people to show and screen our film for free. That has allowed communities to wake up to these crimes. And in doing so, in doing this activism and getting the message out, we now have political officials at the county level who are addressing this issue. We now have a bill that is in the county council, which, if passed, will ban these programs from occurring on and around the county of Maui. Effectively. So it's essential. Public awareness is essential to getting the word out about this issue. And that's why, again, we provide the DVD and people to duplicate it at no cost. And it also helps us because when you support our work, we're able to go out and do other projects that we have. Unfortunately, at this time, it does require some sort of money exchange. So if you believe this issue is important, which it is, there has been no greater threat to our planet. We ask that you get a DVD and hit the streets. Please make as many copies as you can. It's essential.
So where can people go if they want to learn more about your movies and your films and about this subject, which obviously, to your mind, affects all of us? Where can they go to find out more and to pick up the movie, as you suggest?
Well, that's a great question. Go to whyintheworldaretheysprained.com to see the trailer and get more information about screenings and the movie. And we also ask that you go to geoengineeringwatch.org. That's geoengineeringwatch.org. That's the most comprehensive, incredible site on this issue. And please get educated about this and hit your communities. Get out into the public, whether it's you share one DVD a week or one a day. Bring it into work. Share it with your family members. This has been the most effective tool that we have had to date. We're making incredible progress. We now have a lot of political officials who want to get involved. We also have a lot of professors and a lot of scientists who are hopping on board. They see the dire need to address this issue, and we're moving forward. And we will get these programs stopped. It's just how quickly that's dependent on all of us.
Well, Michael J. Murphy, thank you so much for coming on the program today and really kind of uncovering this issue that has a lot of people out there wondering. Thank you for spending some time with us today.
Oh, it was my pleasure, and thank you so much for covering this. It's absolutely essential, and we'd love to come back on. We have some other people in the film that would be willing to interview as well, I think.
That would be great. Let's plan on doing that. Thank you so much, Michael, and thank you for tuning in to this edition of the program, and we'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.